Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.
You go to any court in a big city that's got a history in this country, big city, small town, there's a court there that people talk about, and there's a game on that court. And that game has certain rules and, you know, subtle things that you need to know, but it's pickup basketball.
It's either you do or die. And if you do, you all right. You die. You in the graveyard. This is the graveyard.
The documentary, Ballin' at the Graveyard, offers a courtside view of the unwritten rules, hierarchy, and special code of ethics of a weekly, in the summer, game of pickup basketball, and provides a revealing glimpse into the off-court struggles and triumphs of a core group of players who call the court their home. The game takes place in Washington Park here in Albany, New York, and the film is made by Albany filmmakers Paul Cantafio and Basil Anastasio and co-produced by Spectrum 8 owner Keith Picard. The film will begin screening at the Spectrum Theater on Delaware Avenue in Albany this weekend. I spoke with filmmakers Paul Cantafio and Basil Anastasio about the film and their experience making it. I began by asking Basil where the idea to make the film came from.
I just mentioned one day that there was something going on at the park that I thought may work as a story as well, and I just wanted his sense of whether or not he felt the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And because he didn't know the park and was not aware of kind of the environment there, just invited him up to see what he thought, and he came up.
Yes,
and
I did.
He thought what I thought he would think, and that it was just an amazing place and a place that needed to be captured.
What about it made it so immediately noteworthy, so worth making a film about?
It was the sense of community on the court. No question about it. That's what drew me to it. You had this. I mean, I knew immediately that there was something going on this court that was much more than just who's calling fouls, what's happened, the particulars of the game. There was some kind of interaction and electricity that was happening among those guys that I could just sense was going on for a long time. You know, these were guys who knew each other a long time.
Right. For just
and you
forever.
Could see it forever. and it just was fascinating to me.
And so you have the idea, you want to make a movie about it. How do you start to do that?
Yeah, pretty much we walked onto the court with the camera and started shooting,
and
literally.
All the guys were game to participate.
Yeah, they absolutely were. I mean, we went through the whole process of getting clearances, of course, but they were, so again, they did not know me. Basil had this relationship with these guys for all of these years and knew all the particulars of the game, and I walked onto the court with a camera, and they completely, 95% of the guys completely accepted the fact that I was there.
Uh-huh.
And when, you know, in looking through the footage over these few years, there's very few times where you see someone looking at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
They did not even sense, I mean, they sensed it was there, but they just went about their business and it was really a very beautiful thing. They allowed us to do what we needed to do.
Yeah, they tell their stories very, very openly and candidly.
They do.
Yeah, it was the real level of trust there. And I think I can attest to this because, during the shooting, I would also play.
Right.
And so when I was playing, I would get so into playing, I would forget Paul was there. I would get into an argument or I would have some kind of issue that it would, it just kind of flares. And I think that's what happens to you there. You are just immersed so much in the moment that you're really not, you don't see the camera. It doesn't matter to you. And as long as you know that what's going on behind that camera will be captured in a way that is fair to you. And I think there was a sense of that. They were game.
And do you think if they didn't know you, would it have been the same? Or does their knowing you, what really was the key to getting there, to being
Absolutely.
Able to
yeah.
do it?
I don't think there's any question that, there's that trust was incredibly important here. I've said before, you just can't parachute down and,
right.
and start filming.
Uh-huh.
I think that,
parachute in and start playing.
right. Well, that's true
well,
too.
Definitely not.
That right. The fact that it took me as many years to get to kind of move up the food chain as a player, you put in your time and you create relationships. And when we were when we were filming, I think absolutely we. I don't know that we would have been run off the court, but we would have been asked to leave.
Oh, sure.
Politely. But that didn't happen, and we were, you know, really just kind of honored that they, you know, everyone allowed us in the way they did.
How many hours of footage? This is always an amazing question for documentary film, because it's
yes.
like 30 billion.
right.
But how many hours, how long did you film for? How many hours of footage do you have?
We started about 5 years ago. We shot for 2 summers on the court. So the game happens every Saturday and Sunday morning. So we shot for 2 summers. Shot 100 hours. So we shot for two years, and then we edited for another 2 years, cutting it from, you know, first cut was 3.5 hours, second cut was 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Then we did a focus group that gave us some really good feedback that helped us make that last leap to get to 83 minutes where, you know, it's just heartbreaking to to go from
yeah.
that final chunk. And then we've been kind of tweaking for about a year after that cut, and we finished up about 2 months ago.
And what are your favorite moments in the film, things that you captured that were particularly opportune or just, you know, like a favorite strong point that you're proud of having on the film there?
Well, for me, I mean, there are a couple things, because the movie's really broken down into a couple parts, and part of it happens on the court, mm-hmm. and then we get into some of the players' lives. So they're very different in you know, kind of the feel.
Right.
And so there's a moment in the in one of the players' stories when one of our characters, Boozer, Jarming White, talks about his process of moving from really being a basketball star in this area and someone who had, you know, great potential, to getting his life together after basketball, because, and I'm not going to reveal anything, but it just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And just the honesty in how he describes that, and also how universal maybe that story is, and people don't realize how many people who have great skill and think they're going in a trajectory in basketball that's just going to keep going up have to kind of figure it out because it ends. I think that's a really powerful moment in the story. And in the court section, there are just so many moments. But I would say the section on next and how you get your next game just always tickles me. I just think it's because I've been through that and I've lived it, and all of it is so honest, so real, and for people to see it for the first time, I think they're like, what on earth is going on?
Yeah,
there really,
like, so apparently there's some rules. But
yeah.
Also no rules.
Not really. Yeah. Not really. Yeah, you kind of make your own.
Yeah, I think early on in the process, we thought we had a basketball movie here. That's where we thought the focus was going to be. And certainly that reveals itself in the course of the movie for sure. It's mm-hmm. a major focus of the movie. But what was so surprising was when we got our 5 main characters that we sort of feature during the course of the film, sitting down, talking to us, the way they opened up about themselves, it was a total surprise to us, an absolute beautiful surprise to us. You know, we had questions written that tried to open the door, but we had no idea how wide that door was going to fling open, and it was really, really something. And so to me, that's I think for you too, Baze, it was incredibly surprising how they opened up and just gushed with information about themselves that we did not expect.
Yeah, we had a contingency. We had, when we went through the interviews, we had questions that kind of got into that area, but we had no idea where we would go.
How forthcoming they
would
be.
Yeah, and I think that really, through everything we've you know, this movie's been seen by a number of people at this point, even before the. But to a person, they're struck by the honesty
mm-hmm.
in those characters and just how real you are looking at someone giving you some deep stuff about who they are and what their life has been.
I've lived in Albany for counting college 10 years. 10 years already. And had no idea about this pickup game that happens all summer. I can't be alone in that. It must be something that a lot of people don't know about, and of course a lot of people do know about. How did you find out about it at first and know that you wanted to participate?
Well, that's a function of being an addicted pickup baller.
Oh, okay.
Those
games out.
Yeah. You know those games are going on, and in fact, you know, I've lived in LA for a while and a couple other areas, and from Syracuse originally. Always find the pickup game, and you will hear about it in the community if you're a basketball player.
Okay.
You know, it happens. There are games that happen at the Y's. There are games that happen on different courts. And so I actually had seen, I had played in a couple of those other games and still do. But when I happened on this court, there was something very special about what was going on there. And so when you find a court like that, you stick around. And I think that's been, you know, that's been that's why that court's been there for 40 years with, you know, ebb and flow. But these folks who have such a commitment to it, it's because it's where a lot of stuff happens, a lot of life happens. And so I found it, and I wouldn't let it go. And I allude to in the film early on, I think some of the folks there would be, you know, would have allowed me to leave very easily.
Sure.
But I kind of fought for my place in it because I felt so strongly about it.
The community screening at the Spectrum on the 12th is sold out.
Yes.
But there'll be a open-ended run, 4 shows a day at Spectrum right here in Albany. And what are your hopes for the film? What do you want people to feel or think or take away from it?
Well, I think first and foremost, we want the community that this story came from to come out and see it. I mean, that's our greatest hope for the immediate future, that people from the community see this film, and that they take away from it that it's a story that is something far more than just basketball, that is a story about how lives kind of connect.
Yeah, people go by this court. We see it all the time. People just strolling by, people running by, people walking their dogs, and there's a sense because of the a lot of the energy on the court. There's a lot of aggressive, a lot of testosterone going on there. That there's something maybe a little dangerous about it. I think what we'd like this movie to do is to have people take another look what that world is behind that chain link fence, and to understand that people are people, and whatever you assume is happening there, if you just take another moment to consider it and you watch this movie, I guarantee you that you will come away with a completely different idea of what that game is all about and what urban basketball games like this are about. We hope that you can't go to another park, can't go to Washington Park or another park in this country without having a completely different view about pickup basketball.
Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Paul Cantofio and Basil Anastasio's film, Ballin' at the Graveyard, begins screening at the Spectrum 8 Theaters on Delaware Ave in Albany, New York this weekend. To learn more, visit ballinatthegraveyard.com or spectrum8.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.